So I want to start by, again, welcoming you this morning to Soccer Sunday. And this really is one of my favorite weeks. I love baptism weeks where we have baptisms, but I love soccer camp week. There's an excitement, there's an energy, there's a fatigue factor, there is all of those things, and this year did not disappoint. I wanted to thank many of you whose kids were in soccer camp. Thank you for entrusting us with your kids for the week. I know that can be difficult to release your kids to other people. Some of you didn't know us and that kind of stuff. They were a blessing. I wanted to thank those who volunteered this week. As Ryan said, we had tons of volunteers. We couldn't have done it without each and every one of them. I wanted to thank those at CRBC who'd been praying for soccer camp. We coveted your prayers, and we were thankful for those and for those who supported soccer camp as well. We needed each and every one of you. And so we had loads of fun. We played a lot of soccer. We got loads of sun, and I mean loads of sun, and we had lots of laughs. As Ryan said, we learned five things in the Bible that really culminated in the hope and the message of Jesus. And we learned that we can trust Jesus for our salvation and eternity. And that is a huge statement that takes faith, right? Because the good news is that the good news is that the passage that we are looking at today are all talking about faith. And what does that look like for us to trust Jesus with our eternity? So in our summer time, we have a sermon series which is called Hero of the Faith. We are in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there's some in the pew in front of you if you want. But every verse that I'm talking about will also be on the screens behind me. So you can just follow along as I talk and use those ones as well. Last week, we looked at Noah and his faith. Today, we're going to look at a man named Abraham. Abraham was a man that was born approximately 3,900 years ago. 3,900 years ago. That is a long time ago for sure. And you might wonder, how much relevance would that have for me today, right? Because today is so much different. Yet, there's a lot that we can draw from the life of and faith of Abraham. Abraham had a wife named Sarah. He had a large household. He had many, many herds of animals, and he didn't have any children. And he was already getting older. He would have been considered very wealthy. In those days, though, if you didn't have children, that would have been a great source of shame for a family because your bloodline had no future. The good news for Abraham is that God's sense of value and purpose has no such sense of shame. And so Abraham was called by God. And he was called by God for a specific purpose, just like each and every one of us is. Through the life of Abraham, we're going to look at three points this morning. We're going to look at the faith of Abraham through his actions. We're also going to see that Abraham's faith wasn't perfect. And the third point we're going to look at is that even though we're talking about the faith of Abraham, we're going to see that Jesus is the hero of the faith and the reason for our faith. So we're looking at the faith of Abraham. Therefore, we need to look at some definitions first for the context of my message. The first one is belief. And by belief, I mean it's an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. For example, I can believe that a person is honest, right? That's something that I can believe. Versus trust. Trust is when you allow someone to have, to use, or to look after someone or something of importance or value with confidence. It's just that much more. For example, I trust that this person, whoever that is honest, so I'm going to leave my money with them. I can trust them with that. If I'm trusting someone or something, it impacts my behavior and my actions, and belief may not. Versus my third definition is faith. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. For example, if I have faith in someone, I could put them in charge of my money, my house, my kids, etc. Total and complete trust and confidence. Faith can involve also placing your trust in something that you can't yet see. So as we get that out of the way, let's turn to Abraham. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the first book, and it's called Genesis, and we're going to go to chapter 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, as I said, you can just follow on the screen behind me, and that'll work fine. We start off with Abraham being called by God, and he's being called by God to go to a new land. So let's, in chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So, you know, two things in this passage stand out to me. The first one is Abram, who, the reason why it's Abram and not Abraham is God hasn't changed his name to Abraham yet. That happens later on in the Bible. But the first is Abram is promised by God that God's going to make him into a great nation. And you go, okay, that's a big statement. I mean, if God told me that, I'd go, wow. This is even a bigger statement because Abraham and Sarah do not have any kids. And then you could still say, well, okay. But the problem is that Abraham's already 75 years old and Sarah's around 65 years old. And you go, wow, he's going to make a great nation through him, and he has no kids yet. Okay? The second thing that stands out is that God calls Abraham, his wife, his household, his herds, and we're talking massive. We're talking big, big, big. He calls them to leave the home that they know and go to a foreign land that God is calling them to. That makes you go, wow. I have a hard time just packing up for a trip that I know where I'm going. I know how to get there. I have a GPS because if I didn't have that, I'd be lost. Like, that's a big deal for me. Abraham is being called by God to go somewhere, and he's not even sure of the next step, right? He's going into the unknown. So that, for me, is amazing. Abraham is asked to trust God without seeing where he was to go. This comes into perspective for me a couple of weeks ago. My family and I, my wife Carrie and our two girls, we went on a family trip. Well, on holidays, we decided to go on this hike. Okay, and so this hike was supposed to be a moderate level hike. And you can see from the picture, that's a picture. I took a whole bunch of pictures because, one, I needed many breaks. Okay? We went up, and we went up, we went up. They said it was a moderate hike. The payoff was supposed to be really good. You know, it was supposed to be this beautiful lake when we got there. One, I didn't know it was vertical. And so, and if you look at it, as you look up, it goes, it's winding and winding and going up. I don't know if you can see that I mentioned it's going up. And that's all it did on the way there. It only went up. But you could never see past so far. And every time, like, and it's one plodding step after another, right? And so I'm starting to get, like, super tired. And every time you look up and you see the end of what you could see, you could say, you know what? It's got to be right around that corner. And you get right around that corner, and it's not. And it's continually going up and up and up. And so not only do you climb up, but you can't see very far ahead. And you're thinking, okay, around that next corner. Nope, not around the next quarter. And around the next switchback. Nope, not around the next switchback. And it's getting harder and harder and harder. I can tell you that my trust in it being worth it, because people explain this to us that it's worth it. This hike, the payoff is worth it. My trust in that knowledge was wavering. My faith in me being able to do it was wavering. I could have easily, at multiple times, turned around. I really could have. I was just waiting for one of my kids said, you know what, that's it. And I'll say, oh, I'll wait with you, right? So I was wavering. I believed that the lake was there. My trust was low on whether it was worth it and whether I could make it. But we persevered, and along the way, our spirits rose as we encountered these birds that we fed. And you can see from the picture on the next picture that I showed one picture, but you know they would just hold out a little bit of food that we had, and this was a good break for me too. And so I'm catching my breath and I'm sweating, so I showed a picture of my daughter. But we'd just hold out some crumbs of food, and the birds would come, and so that was really cool. And that was really neat. And we finally make it to the end. We come to a clearing and the ground evened out. We were no longer going up. And I'm catching my breath and we see this lake. And it was all that it really was. It was all that was promised and more. And you can see in the next slide that it really is amazing. Like that, and it, I don't know if the picture just captures it, but it is as green as you can imagine. And I'm already caught my breath there, so I'm not going to die. And we finally do make it. We had a fabulous time once we got up there. We talked with some people from Australia, and it was worth it. But along the way, when you aren't sure how far, when you aren't sure if you can do it because the struggle is so hard, you're unsure. It takes faith to continue on. And this is what Abraham did. He trusted and obeyed God without seeing or knowing where he was going. You know, and I think about each one of us. You know, we all go through things, right? And when you're in the middle of that struggle, you ask yourself, can I do it? Can I persevere through this? Is it worth it? Right? And so I'll let you think about that as we continue on, because it's going to come back around to us. So let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Or you can, as I said, you can follow up on the screen. And it says this: it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God had promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who had inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. You see, Abraham didn't just believe what God had told him. He didn't just give a mental assent to it. He didn't just think in his head, yeah, okay, God kind of knows what he's doing. He had to put his faith into action and trust God. His steps were not his own. He was following God in faith, and his actions backed it up. He did this in faith for the promise of something better. That verse, that last verse where it says, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Abraham had faith and trust in what he could not see. Abraham packed up everything he could and obeyed God and left a place, one that he knew, for one that he did not know. He put all, He put absolutely all of his trust in God. He put his livelihood in God's hands because he didn't know if it would be suitable for his herds. He put his life in God's hands because he didn't know what was to come. He didn't know what was awaiting him when he got there. He put his family in God's hands because he packed everything up and off they went. He didn't just believe that God existed. He didn't just trust God. He trusted God completely and took steps of faith in following him. The second example of Abraham's faith we're going to find in Genesis 22:2. God is taking the temperature of Abraham's faith. Is Abraham trusting in God or is Abraham trusting in himself? Is his trust full and complete? So God poses this command to Abraham. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So, it's Soccer Sunday this morning. And as I was preparing for this message, I was realizing, you know what, we're going to have even probably more parents than we normally do. And I'm thinking about this passage going, wow, because this command seems totally crazy to me. I'm a dad. I'm a son, right? And this is a hard command. This is a super hard command, right? This has to be something that causes us to go, pardon? What? This sounds crazy and weird and just, wow. And then you look at it, you know, and Abraham and Sarah had waited so long for Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah was 90. Isaac was long awaited and much loved, as every one of our kids are, right? We couldn't imagine. Abraham had to decide if God was trustworthy or not. He didn't always know where God was taking him, but God had always kept his word to Abraham. The writer of Hebrews explains this conundrum this way. In Hebrews 11, verses 17, it starts off this way, and it says, "It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, 'Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted.' Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead." So think about this for a second. Abraham, a couple of servants, and Isaac would have had to, they packed up their supplies for them to go to make a sacrifice to God. Isaac asks his dad, "So we have all the stuff, Dad, but what about the sheep we're going to sacrifice?" You must think that Abraham at this point swallows hard. He must take a pause before he says that God will provide a sheep. In other words, he's saying, God will provide a way through this. He is trustworthy. I know that he is trustworthy. He's been trustworthy all the way through. They then arrive at the destination for the sacrifice, and we pick it up in Genesis 22:12, and it says this, "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel says. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. God had promised to make Abraham into a great nation. God had promised to do it through Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham trusted God in this, and God proved to be trustworthy. Abraham trusted God in his earlier promise. He completely trusted that God would be able to complete his promise through his son Isaac, and all is well. In the middle of that, there had to be some immense questioning, and yet he still followed through and trusted God. So we've seen that Abraham's faith in God through his actions. We saw that as Abraham followed God to the promised land, as he packed everyone up and took them. We've seen it as he takes his son to be sacrificed, knowing that God will find a way. And then the second part of our message, we're gonna look at Abraham's faith was not perfect. Because up to now, that's all we've seen. We've seen that Abraham in these big things trusts God. And yet, let's look at a couple where it's not perfect. We'll look at a couple of places where Abraham has doubts. In Genesis 15, verse 1, it says this: "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great.' But Abram replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.'" So God had promised him a son, and Abraham doubted. He was getting really old at this point in time. He wrestled with what was promised and what he thought was possible, even for God. Right? So his faith in this was not perfect. God is holding him up as a person of faith, but it's still an imperfect faith. Let's look at another place where his actions did not line up with his faith in God. So Abraham is traveling to the land promised him, and they have to alter course. And we see this in Genesis 12, verse 10. "At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife, Sarai, 'Look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife. Let's kill him, then we can have her. So please tell them you are my sister, then they will spare my life and treat me well because of interest in you." So, to sum this up, asking your wife to lie about your marriage to save yourself, and in turn put her in harm's way, is not a path of bravery or trust in God's plan. This is actually good news for each one of us. Both of these, I look at it as great news for me. Because there are points in time in my struggles where I have doubts. Right? There has to be points in your time where you have doubts. All of us here, just as my faith and resolve was wavering as I hiked up that mountain, we all have times in our lives where we doubt. I almost turned around. I didn't tell my wife. She could probably sense it, but I could have easily turned around. I doubted I could do it or that it was even worth the sacrifice. Abraham doubted God, and he still ended up in a chapter in Hebrews amongst people of the Bible of great faith. He was held up as a man of great faith in spite that it wasn't perfect. Your faith doesn't have to be perfect, right? So how about you? Have you ever struggled with finances? Have you ever struggled in relationships? Have you ever struggled in health? Death? Have you ever had doubts about how you can get through it? Do you ever question if you have the strength to get through it? How about, what do you do when you think about what happens after death? Have you ever doubted that God is the answer? Let me assure you of this. God is big enough for every one of those doubts. The God that I know, the God that Abraham knows, the God, He is big enough for every one of those doubts, for every one of our failings. All He asks us to do is talk to Him about it, ask Him about it. That talking to Him, that's what prayer is. When we talk to God, that's just prayer, right? I can ask Him. I can tell Him when I'm weak. I can ask Him for strength. I can ask Him for guidance. I can ask Him for wisdom. I can ask Him for clarity. I can ask Him for all of those things, right? He wants to walk with us through those tough things because there isn't one person who hasn't been in and or will be in one of those tough things. And we will have a hard time through those. When we're in the middle of a struggle, the only thing we want to do is get out of that struggle, right? It's not until you get to the other side through it where you go, where you can say, you know what, I see how God helped me through that sometimes, right? All right. So, we have seen Abraham's faith in God through his actions, number one, two ways. We've seen Abraham's faith was not perfect, two ways. And the final part of our passages is that Jesus is the reason for our faith and our hope. We see that Abraham was a man of faith, but he still had time of doubts. Abraham chose to put his faith in what was to come and in God. This is the essence of spiritual faith, where you put your faith in the unseen. It takes faith to put your trust in God. You know the phrase, taking a leap of faith? That's what it is. In Hebrews 11:13, it says this, and when it's talking about all these people, it's talking about all the people in chapter 11, these people of faith in the Bible that are listed, and Abraham is one of them, and it says this, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a place for us, for those who have put their faith and trust in Him. Abraham died before that promise was realized, but he had a promise from God that it would take place. God would make a mighty nation out of his bloodline. This was a people that was to represent God on earth, so that when they saw this people, that they would see Him, and they would be attracted to Him, and they would put their faith in God. So that when other people saw them, that they could do nothing but fall on their knees and give thanks to God. Because if He could impact this people like that, God could also do it in their lives. If your faith is in God, then this is not your home. Then you are awaiting your heavenly home, and your purpose in life is to point to Jesus up until the point where we are called home. Jesus is the only and complete hero of the faith. In Hebrews 12, 1-2, and so this is the chapter after chapter 11, obviously. This is Hebrews 12, and it starts off with therefore. And so it's saying, this is because of all of these heroes of the faith and how we see their faith, then this is something of importance. And it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You see, in chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews was saying that this is not our home. We are nomads here on earth, awaiting the time where we will get to heaven. Chapter 11 shows us many people of the Bible that show great faith in God. Now, in chapter 12, it's saying, therefore, we should get rid of all that gets in our way of following Jesus. We need to strip those things off. It is our sin that gets in the way. Sin are the things that we do that we shouldn't, or the things that we don't do that we should, or anything that is contrary to God. We should cast those things off because they trip us up. They get in the way of us doing what he's calling us to do while we're here on earth. Pick it up in verse 2. It continues. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. You see, we don't have to be perfect in our faith because Jesus is perfect. We run this race of life by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, who is God, came to earth living a sinless life. And then he died on the cross. Yeah, he died on the cross, paying the price for my sins and all of our sins. The good news is, though, that he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he rose to life, conquering sin and death for us who put our faith in him. So he is the hero who initiates our faith, and he perfects it. We don't have to be perfect. We need to trust him and obey him and follow him. We need to call out to him. We need to take a step forward in life and trust Jesus, just like Abraham. Abraham didn't know what that next step would be like. He just followed God. God said, go here. He went here. Go here, right? And the only way we know that is by taking that step of faith, talking to God. This week, as we were in the midst of setting up for soccer camp, we had a setup crew and a takedown crew and kitchen crews and all that, but Ryan and I were both on the setup crew, and it's a lot of work doing it out at Raw Brown because we got to haul all the stuff there, and we stored some of the stuff at Christian Life Fellowship, which is right behind the field that we were using. And so as we were pulling the stuff out, there was this man who came up, and he was walking his dog, Cruz. And we got talking, and he was asking, Christian Life Fellowship is building, they started a construction project in behind their building. And he was asking me about it. What's going on? What are they building back there? And I said, well, I don't work here. I said, I'm a pastor at Campbell River Baptist Church, but they're building a portable for their daycare and for their youth and that kind of stuff. And he goes, oh, so you work at the other church? He goes, well, explain something to me. As soon as I said I was a pastor, he goes, explain something to me. Explain those Thai, those boys from Thailand who are trapped in the cave. And where's God in that? And he didn't leave it there. He goes, how about the death and suffering in amongst the Syrian refugees? He goes, where's God in that? And so he goes, how could God allow that? And I went, wow, God, that's really neat. We're not even in soccer camp. We're getting ready to set up. And here's someone who's asking a super practical question about faith. And that's what I was about to preach on this Sunday. And you see, he had doubts that a good God would allow such suffering to happen. He had doubts and was wondering how anyone could have faith in God with so much suffering in the world. And so I agreed with him that that suffering is horrible. And I also added that God thinks it's just as horrible. In fact, God thinks it's much more horrible. And he grieves that suffering and sin where it takes place more than we do. I shared that the sin in the world grieves God more than us, but God has a rescue plan for all of us, and that's in Jesus. Because Jesus is God, and he sinlessly, someone without sin, he went to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And any who put their faith and trust in Jesus, any who do that, God has a way for them to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. Because when we put our faith in Jesus, he says, I have built this city for you. I have heaven awaiting for you because you are a nomad here on earth. This is not your home. You have a home, and it's not here. And in the home that I have built for you, there is no suffering. There is no pain, because that is not God's plan. Because in the beginning, that's not how God created. It wasn't until sin entered the world that God, and then God came up with this rescue plan. And this rescue plan involves himself, Jesus, going to the cross for us. So, we all have that opportunity. I got to share this with this guy out front. We hadn't even gotten to the field yet today. We were going to be talking about Jesus, and I got to do it. God provided that opportunity for me, but we all have that opportunity. There is not one person here who is without sin. There is not one person here, not me or you, that is perfect. Jesus is the only one who is. We can put our trust in Jesus, who is perfect and who is God. We can put our faith in Jesus that his perfect sacrifice was payment enough for our sins. If you have never done that, you can do that today. You can do that tonight. You can do that at any time you want. You just have to talk to God and ask him. I do ask this. If you do that today, or even if you do that tonight, we would love to hear. We would love to celebrate with you. Because every time someone does that, the Bible says that angels rejoice. We want to rejoice with you in that. So this is where we've been today. We've seen that Abraham's faith in God through his actions. Two, we've seen that Abraham's faith was not perfect, much like ours. And three, we've seen that Jesus is the reason for our faith and our hope. Because Jesus is the true hero of faith, he is God's rescue plan for each and every one of us. This is what Abraham was trusting in. He was trusting that God had a way to save us from our sins, and that was Christ. Abraham did more than believe that God existed. He completely put his trust and faith in the hope of Jesus. And we all get that same choice. We all get that same opportunity.